Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY24 results conference call of CEAT Limited, hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniket Mhatre from Motilal Oswal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Riya. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the post-results conference call of CEAT Limited. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Securities, I would like to thank the management of CEAT for giving us an opportunity to hold this call. From the management team, we have with us Mr. Arnab Banerjee, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer of CEAT, Mr. Kumar Subbiah, Chief Financial Officer, and the Investor Relations team. I would now hand over the call to Arnab, sir, to begin with his opening comments, and then we can take the Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Hi, everybody. Good afternoon and welcome to CEAT's Q4 earnings call. I'll be taking you through the business updates for the quarter, and then I shall hand over to Kumar for his remarks on the financial performance. Then we'll be open for Q&A. To start with, we are pretty upbeat with the demand situation in India. Vehicle penetration is still low, and trucks still don't travel 1,000 kilometers per day, so there's a lot of headroom. Government has been focusing on infra development, and national highway network has grown 60% in a decade. The top players in the industry are well positioned with capacities in place and balance sheets that enable matching pace with this growth. The tire industry is honoring a growing share of India's manufacturing GDP and is expected to be reaching 3.4% of manufacturing GDP by 2032. We at CEAT had experienced a stellar year characterized by a very high profitability of 635 crore for financial year 2024, along with double-digit ROC. The success was further underscored by generous dividend distribution of 300%, and we had a stable margin for the quarter and also for the year and strong FCF generation. Our ratios have been strong, with debt EBITDA being lower than 1 and debt equity at about 0.4. The tire industry, being one of the most competitive industries in India, is seeing a good level of evolution with better pricing independence across segments. During quarter four, we witnessed price cuts in TBR segments by some of the players, but at CEAT, we largely maintained the pricing with only marginal cuts in this category, while we actually enhanced prices a minor way in the passenger segment as well as farm tires. Quarter four is, and the entire financial year has been a momentous year for us because we are celebrating 100 years of our existence in the tire industry. We continue to strengthen the brand with targeted marketing spends. CEAT has once again secured the rights to the IPL strategic timeout for the next 5 years, so this will be a cumulative of 14 years now where this brand property will stand for improving the salience of the CEAT brand. Volume performance, we grew by 5.4% in the quarter over last year, and our replacement and export market particularly have done well in quarter four. Exports grew by 22% on volume, and we witnessed robust growth from Middle East and Brazil along with Europe. Off-highway tires also witnessed good growth in LATAM and the US market. Replacement grew by 5%, led by growth in TBR, passenger, and two-wheeler segment. With our focus on premium categories, we have been able to improve our saliency in premium segments in all categories. PCR market share in replacement again increased this quarter, and now we are close to 17% market share. In two-wheeler, we have crossed 35% market share and maintained leadership. We have gained market share in TBR as well, though we are still in single digits. OEM volumes in quarter four declined marginally, primarily due to decline in EV and in two-wheeler tires. Also, on full-year basis, our volumes grew by 6.5%, led by export and decent growth in replacement and OEM segments. By way of demand, domestic situation, as I mentioned, is upbeat. Inflation is moderated. We expect above normal rainfall in the forthcoming monsoon season. We expect in most categories high single digit to touching double digit kind of volume growth in OEM and replacement markets. The landscape of tire manufacturing is also being reshaped by increasing focus on sustainability and the already well-known trends of CASE, which is connectivity, autonomous, electrical, and shared mobility. On the margin front, we should share first that the commodity basket has been flattish in quarter four versus quarter three, in line with our guidance. Natural rubber prices are trending high, which had marginal impact in Q4. But if this trend continues, we could have an escalation of RM cost by 3 to 4% in quarter one. We have been able to maintain our pricing in OEM segment and export markets. Operational efficiencies helped us to not affect our margin profile significantly. Standalone EBITDA for the quarter stood at 13.4% and standalone net profit was 119 crores. Capacity utilization continues to be good in the range of almost 80%. I will cover now the extended producer responsibility, which is EPR. In July 22, the Ministry of Environment, Forest and Climate Change issued regulations on EPR for waste tire applicable to tire manufacturers and recyclers. This would mean that the goods sold in domestic market in T-2 years will be considered as base for calculating our obligation. As per this, the company has an obligation as on March 31, 2024 for FY24 and also for FY23. We have provided for the same on a prudent basis. While the matter has been represented to the government by the company and industry forum to apply EPR prospectively and with changes in modality, we estimate the overall liability to be 107.2 crores for both years FY23 and 24, and this has been provided in the books in the current year, out of which 34.5 crore pertains to FY23 obligations and has been disclosed as an exceptional item during the quarter and year ended March 31st, 24. There has been evolving clarity and the relevant ecosystem is gradually coming into place for EPR-related costs and actions. Going forward, we shall be providing for 100% of the quantity of new manufactured tires based on this formula. This will work out to roughly 1.2 to 1.4% on domestic sales. We expect that we will be able to mitigate this impact on our margins in the medium to long term due to improved product mix, pricing, and internal efficiencies. On the future trends, electrification, we continue our good work in the electric vehicle segment. In the passenger EV segment, we have entered Tata Punch EV, which is a high volume vehicle. With this entry, we have become a supplier to all EV OEMs that are locally manufacturing in India. We now have close to 20% share in the passenger EV in India. And we also have a share of around 27% in the two-wheeler EV ecosystem in India. In the commercial EV segment, we have got an entry into Switch Mobility's first vehicle, as well as Volvo Eicher's new EV SCV, which has been unveiled recently. Internationalization has been a key driver. We have launched 55-plus off-highway SKUs in Q4. Export business is margin accretive for us, and therefore we'll continue to invest in product mix for agri-radial and PCR and TBR. Right now the exports constitutes about 19%+, and we would like to take this up to 25% in the next couple of years. Mahindra launched their Oja tractors in US, completely fitted with CF tires. We are progressing well on channel expansion in US market. The macro situation in Sri Lanka is improving gradually. Passenger tire demand has improved there. However, commercial tire demand is still to come up. On the premiumization front, we launched the steel radial, sport rad and cross rad in the two-wheeler range. This is meant for high-performance motorcycle. The current potential is about 3% of the overall market and is expected to grow fast. We are also associating with premium properties such as the KTM Cup, and we are sponsoring several adventure biking events as well. Our share in premiumization continues to improve, and in PCR, cross-drive, sport-drive, Securadrive, and Securadrive SUV continue to gain saliency in the whole category. We will continue to invest in marketing spends, which hover around 2%+ range year to year, and which is the highest in the industry. As mentioned earlier, our coverage for tires required for BMW, Audi, and Mercedes continues to be in the range of 85%-90%, and despite rapid introduction of new models, we'll continue to launch products to keep the coverage at this range. We will continue to have highest R&D spend as compared to peers in the industry for new product development for Indian and global markets. Our exclusive outlets have reached 550 numbers by the end of this year, and our distribution expansion continues into the hinterland of the country. On the digital front, SIAT received Smart Manufacturing Company title at CNBC TV18 ZipWorks Smart Manufacturing Summit 2024. We continue to deploy the Industry 4.0 initiative from Halol to our Chennai plant in line with the Lighthouse concept. We have had a good engagement in all social media platforms. We continue to focus on increasing our connect with end users digitally. Brand searches for premium vehicles and SUVs grew by 9 times, 60% increase in brand conversion volumes, and 156% increase in average engagement per post per month compared to FY23. Furthermore, through website leads, we registered a 50% increase in premium sales. Our CapEx for FY24 ended at around 860 crores. The expansion projects are on plan. We reiterate our strategy of doing bite-sized CapEx every year. In line with this strategy, we expect around 1,000 crores of CapEx in FY25. We are focused on reducing our carbon footprint. Ton CO2 emission per metric ton of production was lower in FY24 by 7%. 36% of our plant power requirement is through renewable sources. And at Bhandup plant, which is in the middle of Mumbai city, we installed an auto carbon charging system, which is good for the environment. Natural rubber sourced via alternate transit route went up to 26%, and the rolling resistance of tires went down by 5%. Overall demand situation is good. We are upbeat about the India story, as I mentioned. And there is a mild inflationary impact in raw material prices. There is an EPR impact, and we expect to mitigate the impact of this escalation through better management of our resources. With this, I would now like to hand over the call to Kumar.
Thank you, Arnab. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining our quarter four FY24 earnings call. As it is the year end, I will share some financial data points relating to the quarter four and also full year, post which we can take Q&A session. Overall financial performance, our consolidated net revenue for the quarter stood at 2,991 crores, year-on-year growth of 4.41%, driven by increase in volumes. Our consolidated EBITDA for quarter four stood at 400.91 crores, which is about 5% higher than the same amount of the previous quarter. The EBITDA as a percentage is a little lower in the current quarter versus the previous quarter, mainly on account of advertisement cost and regulatory cost. The regulatory cost aspect has been already touched upon by Arnab. I'll also explain briefly in terms of the impact of it. Coming to gross margin, our gross margin saw an improvement of approximately 100 basis points driven by better mix and the impact of higher inventory at the end of the quarter. As we come into the current quarter, the prices of key raw materials like natural rubber and crude derivatives have shown an upward trend. In case of natural rubber, we're seeing an upward trend since the beginning of the previous quarter. and the same is likely to impact our raw material costs in quarter one to the extent of about 3 to 4%. And the crude has seen some correction in the last 2 or 3 days, and we hope it sustains at the current level. And if it sustains, that the impact of on raw materials could be lower. Considering these factors, we'll continue to keep a close watch on RM situation, and based on how it evolves, will appropriate pricing decisions would be taken. Coming to debt, capex, and working capital, we spent about 260 crores of capex during the quarter. So far, and on an overall full year basis, we spent about 866 crores, which is broadly in line with our indications given in the earlier interactions. I'm happy to share with you our overall operating working capital came down by about 102 crores during the year, and largely driven by improvement in inventories and receivables. We are also happy to share with you that we generated a healthy free cash flow of 857 crores during the year, which is the highest, and that helped in terms of funding all our capex during the year from our internal accruals. Our consolidated debt stood at 1,629 crores as of 31st March, a drop of about 470 crores versus the same period of last year. Our debt to EBITDA on a consolidated basis stands at a comfortable level of 0.97 and debt equity of 0.4. Our debt EBITDA of 0.97 is the lowest in the recent years. Coming to operational expenses, our employee costs largely remained flat at the same level as quarter three. Our marketing spend has increased during the quarter on account of new campaigns, participation in IPL and WPL. This will continue in quarter one as well due to IPL in quarter one. For the year, as we had explained in the earlier on EPR, during the year, we made a provision of about 107 crores towards extended producer's responsibility. Out of the 107 crores, 35 crores relates to the previous year, and therefore we have reported as an exceptional, and balance amount has been shown as other expenses in our consolidated as well as standalone books. In the quarter four, we approximately provided about 40 crores after adjusting the provisions that we made in the earlier quarters. The impact of this additional provision that we made in quarter four is close to about 1.3% of the EBITDA for the quarter, and this may be appropriately considered while making comparisons with the previous quarters. Depreciation for the quarter increased due to higher capitalization and commissioning of our assets, and we expect it to remain at this level for the coming quarter and in the first half of the year. Interest cost declined during the quarter compared to quarter three on account of lower debts, and effective interest rate has largely remained the same in line with quarter three, and we expect the interest rates to be in the range of about plus or minus 25 basis points into quarter two. On a consolidated basis, we have an exceptional cost of 58.17 crores. As explained just now, it includes close to about 35 crores relating to EPR. We also had a voluntary retirement scheme launched in one of our factories, and the cost of that is about 7.99 crores. And during the year, we also made some changes in the distribution model in Bangladesh, and leading to reconfiguration of our business model, and therefore we took a call to take a write-off of some of the assets in our Bangladesh joint venture entity, and the impact of the same is about 15.66 crores. Our overall consolidated profits for the quarter stood at 92.87 crores, and on a full year basis, it stood at 614.48 crores. In the board meeting, the board recommended a 300% dividend for the last year, which approximately translates to about 20% of our profits, and this is subject to approval by shareholders in the upcoming annual general meeting. With this, we can now open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your question to only one question per participant. Should have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. First question is from the line of Arjun Khanna from Kotak Mahindra Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. The first question is on the extended producer responsibility part of it. So if you could help us understand why was it just taken this quarter, given that it came or was notified since 2022 November. The second part to the question is, are we registered as a manufacturer and recycler, or what registrations have we taken? And lastly, in terms of the recycling bit, is there a way of doing it ourselves and reducing this cost base of what you mentioned of 1.2 to 1.4%? Thank you.
Okay, see, this notification was issued in the year 2022, as you mentioned, around that period. For producers of tires to implement the recommendations of that particular notification. So some of the conditions included having a portal registered dealer for recycling tires. So that infrastructure did not exist in 22-23. In fact, even the first half of or first 9 months of the current year, 23-24 also, the infrastructure was not fully in place. It is because of accounting prudence and to ensure that we follow the principles of conservatism. Okay, we have made this provision. The company as well as the industry body has taken up with the government already to explore options or requested the government to make it effective prospectively and also with some changes in modalities. So it's in the absence of clarity with respect to establishing the impact of it and also inadequate infrastructure. Okay, it was decided in the previous year not to provide for the same thing, and even in the current year also, only toward the end of the year and the government started insisting on fulfilling the obligations, it was felt that it is better to reflect it in our financial books. In our books, we started providing it from the beginning of the year based on our own internal estimates. When we came to some kind of a certainty with respect to the amount, and we decided to provide in quarter four whatever was unprovided, and also relating to the earlier year. And the next question, we are not recyclers, so therefore our how we would like to fulfill the obligation is to buy certificates from recyclers who will buy those tires from the market and then recycle them and convert them into another useful product, and we will buy those certificates from them. And the cost that we have shown in our financial statement is a cost of certificates that we would have to buy from these recyclers. And we have not registered ourselves as a registered recyclers. Those who are in the business of recycling have registered themselves in the portal as a registered recyclers.
Sure. Thank you. That's very helpful. So just as a supplementary question on this, in terms of ERP certificate costs, have we seen an increasing trend? And are they available to the quantum that's required at this point in time?
No, it is not available. It all depends on what is the extent of obligation. Okay, and as we said, it is because of accounting prudence, we have made all the provisions. It is not available. It started, some quantity started being available in the portal from quarter four of the last financial year, more in the later part of it. If someone were to theoretically arrive at the total obligations for this period of previous 2 years, and what is required in the current year, a fraction of it is what is available at this point in time. And in terms of pricing trend, I think it's too early to say anything. Okay, it's just starting, so and I think we'll need more time to understand whether the prices will remain at current market level or will it increase or go down. So I think we need more time.
So just to understand, the number that we have utilized for this quarter is essentially the current pricing in the market. Is that the right understanding?
No, we have not utilized. We didn't buy anything in the previous quarter.
No, I'm saying the quantum.
Accounting provision.
Yeah. So the quantum for the accounting provision is the current price of the ERP certificate may not be available in that volume, but we have used that price into the quantity of recycling that we are supposed to do, that 35%, 70%, et cetera.
No, we have considered the current prices. We have also and made some understanding because the quantum involved is large, so we made certain assumptions with respect to what is likely to be the pricing, and accordingly, we have estimated the liability.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Siddhartha Bera from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, again, just to clarify this point, we have provided 40 crore in the current quarter, and the remaining 30 crore has been provided in the first three quarters. Is it the right way to understand this?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And second is, when you say that the quantum provision for the next year will be somewhere about 1.2%-1.4% of domestic sales, again, this can vary depending upon the pricing in the market, or do you think this is largely decided and it won't change, basically, if you look at the full year?
No, it's an estimate, okay, and it will change because the cost of certificate is what we are taking it as a cost. If the certificate cost comes down or goes up, it'll have some variation. It is more an indicative number for somebody to understand the implications of it. So needless to say, any variation, any movement in the prices will have some impact on the current estimate.
Got it, sir. And sir, the second question is on the volume.
Hello. Could you please return to the question queue for follow-up question?
Sure.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amarkant Kaur from Axis Capital. Before that, ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your question to only one question per participant. Mr. Kaur, please go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for taking my question. My question was regarding the RM escalations that we have seen in the recent past. The natural rubber prices are up significantly when the crude may not be. So in your estimate, how much price increases will we have to undertake to mitigate those kind of impacts on RM? And how much have we taken? And any clarity you can give on the price hikes that you have taken yet?
Yeah. So coming to the price hike, we did mention that we took a very moderate, very little price hike in quarter four itself in farm and PCR, not across the category. In the month of April, by April end this year, in this quarter, we have taken a price hike of around 1.5% in replacement, and we are in the process of converting our orders to the new pricing in international business. That also will be around 1.5%-2% as it settles down. OEM is indexed, as you know, so OEM pricing is we'll know the index and calculate the pricing at the end of quarter one. So that is the pricing situation. So if the price hike is the raw material hike is 3%-4%, then you know you need about 1.5%-2% at least to mitigate. So with a lag, I think we will be able to mitigate most of the price hike requirement.
All right. I have follow-up questions, but I'll fall back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Raghunandan NL from Nuvama Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. My question was again on EPR. Sir, can you please explain the computation? Because when I look at your last 2-3 years of 2 years of calculation, it comes to 1.5% of domestic sale in FY23 for 35% 2 years ago, and 1.4% for FY24. And for 25, you've given a range of 1.2 to 1.4. One of your peer who also reported results today, for them the math works out to something like 0.8 to 0.9%. So as per that EPR document, it was showing that the calculation is based on weight into conversion factor into quantity. So how do we try and arrive at this number? How is the computation done?
Okay, see, with respect to, this is applicable when you produce and sell tires within India. Okay, so from that point of view, when you apply as a percentage, okay, on our total turnover, it may not be comparable with any other organization, unless and otherwise the exports and domestic turnover percentage more is in the same range or it's at similar levels, one. And number two, as we also just now clarified, the estimate of cost could vary from one organization to another organization. To my knowledge, till 31st of March, nobody would have incurred any cost of significance. Okay, so everything that is getting reported is on a estimate basis. So only when you actually incur that cost, you will get to know the real cost, and this liability people will discharge over a period of time. So from our point of view, when Arnab had indicated in his speech in terms of this number, he indicated as a percentage of domestic sales. Okay, if you were to convert the expected liability, what would that be is based on that percentage. So you should, at this point in time, take more as an indicator, and the number percentage could marginally differ from one organization to another organization. While we don't have understanding how somebody else has done, I think it is on domestic sales. So on domestic sale, since it's not 100%, it is a certain percentage of our total sale, that is the way it would work out too. And it is also, please note, it is on production, not on sales. Okay, if there's any difference between production and sales, that will also have some implications. What you have produced, if you have not sold, okay, you may provide based on production, but it may not exactly match with as a percentage of sales.
Thank you for that explanation, sir. Just supplementing on EPR, would you need to use more recycled inputs as raw materials? Will this lead to increase in RM cost?
See, we already use some small percentage of recycled material. Okay, and the product needs to be recycled. Okay, it doesn't have to be incorporated in the tire manufacturer once again. Our endeavor is always, as a responsible corporate, our endeavor is to see how to use greener material, how to use a recycled material so that puts less load on the ecosystem. So from that point of view, if there's an opportunity for us to use more, we will certainly use, subject to our R&D and recipe permitting that. Okay, but however, our endeavor is to see how to create that ecosystem that will develop in terms of capability to recycle these tires. I think that is the direction in which industry as well as organization will work towards.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. I'll fall back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Basudeb Banerjee from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir. Just wanted to understand, with this year, with strong margin and good business, working capital also supportive, good free cash flow generation, debt reduction. So what is the utilization segment-wise, and what is the planned CapEx for FY25, including maintenance, growth CapEx, everything as such?
So plant utilization is around 80% in most cases, barring TBR, where utilization is very high. We have almost fully utilized the capacity, and we are expecting fresh production from our Chennai expansion project of TBR in quarter two, scaling up in quarter three and quarter four. So TBR is an exception. Otherwise, it's closing to 80% in all cases. CapEx is around 1,000 crores, with about 250 crores of maintenance CapEx and about 750 crores of growth CapEx, primarily in Chennai TBR project, then our Ambernath expansion of agriculture radial project, and also in Chennai PCR project. These are the three main projects where the growth CapEx will be deployed.
Ladies and gentlemen, as there is no response from the participant, we'll move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Rishi Vora from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you, sir, for taking my question. This quarter, our volumes grew by 5% and replacement segment also grew in that range. And you guided for a high single-digit, low double-digit growth in the coming quarters. So, you know, what are the key drivers for, you know, volume trajectory to improve from here on? Can you just highlight some of those green shoots which you are seeing on ground? Thank you.
Yeah, so quarter one is a positive season for all kinds of tires because of the summer heat when tires are replaced, where it is also high. So we expect strong volumes in truck bus radials, in replacement market that is. We expect strong volumes in passenger radials, which is also aided by the election season. And the rural and small towns are showing signs of recovery. We have had very strong growth in replacement in motorcycle and scooter in the past 3-4 months, which we expect to continue in summers, with a gain in market share in passenger categories, both passenger categories. In the OEMs, the commercial category is muted because of elections and is expected to stay in that zone till about August, September, when we might see a recovery in truck tires OEMs. Two-wheeler is doing very well in the second half of last year and expected to do very well this year. They are still below the pre-COVID level, so we expect good headroom there. And passenger may moderate a little bit in the high base of last year in the OEMs, but still low single-digit growth is possible. April, they grew by about 1.5%. And globally, of course, in the international markets, we expect the launch in the US in the month of July or August, quarter two, that is. Strong growth expected in Middle East, in Europe, as well as Latin America. So that's the overall scenario of demand outlook across the three segments.
So, sir, any ballpark number which you like to share for full year in terms of overall volume guidance? It's just high single digit for full year across segments, like on a blended basis?
Yeah, we would be targeting about a double digit kind of volume growth, high single digit to double digit kind of volume growth across segments. Yes, that's an average across segments, you can say.
Understood. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amyn Pirani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just, you know, going back to the EPR, and thanks for all the explanations till now. Just wanted to clarify, you know, so I think there was a rule that, you know, for a year, the provision which has to be made is for the prior year or, you know, 2 years prior production, or is it like, what provision you're making in FY24, that 70 crores, is for FY24 production and FY25 will be FY25 production?
See, the obligation for 22-23 is 35% of T-2. Okay, and obligation for 23-24 is 70% of T-2. So, okay. That is obligation.
Okay.
And if any unit company tire manufacturer has come into existence during this interim period, then the obligation starts 2 years after that.
Okay. So for FY25, you will be providing 100% of FY23. Is that the correct way to think about it?
Yeah. The basis to for that is T-2 production basis to arrive at that obligation.
Okay. Okay, understood. And just one, you know, follow-up on this. You mentioned that, you know, you will try to mitigate it through mix, price and efficiency. So given that this is going to impact all the tire companies, at least the domestic business of all the tire companies almost equally, are you not expecting that there should be a pass-through at least on the OEM side, which is already on a formula basis? And even on the replacement side, because this is something which is an extra cost for everyone, or do you think that there could be, you know, companies which would not pass it on and hence there is some competitive activity on this basis also?
So on the OEMs, we have started engaging with the OEMs, and as you rightly said, it is an indexed formula for most of the OEMs.
Yeah.
So we are hopeful of the outcome, but it's basis a discussion with the OEMs and resolution on a one-to-one basis.
Mm-hmm.
In the replacement market, yes, it's a competitive situation. There could be competitive activity, but it is just like for the channel and the customers, it's just like any raw material input cost increase. So they are not really concerned whether it's EPR or it's some raw material cost increase. So the price hike will be just taken as if an input cost has gone up, and based on the competitive activity, of course.
Understood. Thanks for this. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mumkush Mandlesha from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
We're not able to hear you, sir.
Can you hear me now? Is it better?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Sir, I just want to understand on the market pricing environment in the market, sir. We have taken a price hike in the end of April. One large player has been diverging in terms of price increases. So how do you see that kind of impact on the pricing for us, sir?
See, pricing, as I said, is not totally 100% dependent on competition as it used to be some 5-7 years back. There is some degree of pricing independence that is possible. There is some degree of market share movements also that are possible. But individual players decide on their relative strength and take those calls. So it has played out over the last 7-8 quarters, and it will play out in future as well. So, and the quantum of price hike one may decide to take in different categories may also be different, right? So we have taken the price hike basis our strength and where we believe that we can pass it on without any significant impact on our market share or on our volumes. For example, in passenger car category, we took a minor price hike in quarter four and we gained market share in quarter four. But it may not hold true for all categories for us and likewise for all the competitors.
Understood, sir. Just Kumar, sir, what would be the impact of Red Sea on the freight cost for this quarter, sir?
No, see, freight rates have moved up for certain... So it has moved up for largely to movements to Europe. Okay, and the rate increase has been happening since beginning of quarter four. So it's almost 300% increase is what has happened in freight rates. So it stays at that level now.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, my question pertains to the current quarter performance where if I adjust for the EPR provisioning, EBITDA margins have improved almost 130 basis points vis-a-vis third quarter despite stable RM basket and likely impact of freight cost. So is this entirely due to mix improvement or there is something else which is not getting captured?
Okay, no, see... I think you are referring to gross margin has improved by about close to about 100 basis points.
No, I'm referring to EBITDA margin. EBITDA margins have improved about 130 basis points if I adjust for the EPR provisionings.
No, if you adjust for EPR provisioning, is that? So if you,
yeah.
If you approximately, let's assume about 1.2% kind of an impact of quarter four. So if you add it to the quarter four margin, it is not 1% improvement. It is about 20-30 basis points improvement over the previous quarter. That's what it is. So that's largely attributable to, better mix. I think as Arnab had earlier mentioned, we grew strongly in replacement and exports. So that played some role. And the way gross margin, if you are referring to gross margin, the way it is computed, is based on, it has some impact on account of if you hold a higher level of finished goods inventory, the way gross margin gets reported, it will tend to show a little higher because you adjust the closing value of finished goods, which will include non-material component, and therefore it might appear as a higher improvement in gross margin, but at EBITDA level it gets neutralized. So largely I think if you add back, it is not a 1%, it is about 0.2, 0.3% improvement over the previous quarter, quarter on quarter.
Okay, okay. Got it. And the second question pertains, given that there is such a strong outlook for demand which we are looking at for FY25, and we are already at 80% X of PBR, do we need to increase our CAPEX investments to meet this growth and also meet our market share aspiration? Or we can manage through this bite-sized CAPEX without looking at a large brownfield expansion?
As I mentioned, the CAPEX utilization is highest for TBR. In TBR, already there's a big expansion underway at Chennai, and we expect commercial production in quarter two. So we are prepared for meeting the TBR demand and growing market share in TBR.
And for the segments?
Can you repeat, please?
For other segments, PCR and two-wheelers and OTR?
For other segments, there is enough headroom to grow in the current capacity. And in PCR also, there is an expansion going on, looking at future demand of 2 to 3 years. So the current CAPEX outlay of 1,000 crores is sufficient to look after current demand as well as future demand in the medium term.
Okay, got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Swechha Jain from Whitestone Financial Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So just coming back to the EPR provision. So what I want to understand is, going forward, every quarter, we will make a provision of 1.3 to 1.4% of the domestic sales. Have I got this correct, sir?
See, it is an indicator, I think, because it has just started. In the quarter that went by, we had not incurred anything. So from our point of view, it's more an indicator. Okay, it could be in that range. It depends on the, you know, cost of certificates. We look forward to, we hope, you know, government considers the request of the industry. So you use more as an indicator. I think we can keep fine-tuning in the coming quarters once we get a better hold on the certificates market. And also, we are assuming, you know, as the need for recycling increases, there could be more players coming into the markets. So all these things will influence.
But okay, so but we will be providing every quarter, or we will do like this.
Ma'am, we're not able to hear you clearly.
No, it will be on an accrual basis from here on. So as I think the rationale for making the provision in quarter four, we explained earlier. From here onwards, it's going to be part of our normal cost. Subject to, you know, if we are able to get some benefit from through the interactions with the government, I think it will get adjusted appropriately. We look forward to it. But if it doesn't come, it will continue on a quarterly basis.
Okay. And so just to follow up, if I can ask, actually, I missed the volume numbers that you were giving during the commentary. Could you just repeat those if possible?
The industry growth. Okay, so if you're talking of CS growth numbers, volume, then yes. We grew by about 6.5% on a full year basis, 5.3% on a quarterly basis, and this was distributed across the segments with very high growth in two-wheeler and passengers, and somewhat lower single-digit growth in overall truck bus. Specialty also grew close to double-digit. TBR grew in single digit, so that's the kind of growth rate for Q4 YOY.
Okay, so this is replacement or OEM replacement growth, right?
It is overall.
Okay. So would you be able to give volume growth in replacement and OEM separately?
OEM, as I mentioned, we grew well in replacement, and OEM was moderate in quarter four overall. So most of this growth came from OEM, from replacement and international business markets.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nihar Dave from Living Root Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity for asking a question. But most of my other questions have been answered. I just wanted to ask, would it be possible to provide me market share breakdown by product or by segment category?
Are you asking for replacement?
For all of the segments, sir.
Approximately, as I mentioned in passenger, we are at about 70-odd% in replacement. About two-wheeler would be about 35% plus. And truck bus radial will be still in single digit but approaching double digit. And this is replacement. In OEM, it is similar. I mean, the truck bus radial will be higher at about mid double digit. And passenger would be slightly lower than 70. And two-wheeler will be around the same, slightly lower.
Okay, got it. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital Market Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, Arnob. This is Kaushik Poddar. I hope you can place me.
Yeah, Kaushik.
Yeah. Okay. I'm speaking to you after a long, long time. What is the stable margin you see? I mean, around 13-14% is the long-term margin we can take it as a long-term whatever the target or something, or you can improve on it.
See, we don't give a guidance for future. We have been mentioning that we would like to maintain the EBITDA margin at in a tight narrow band, because we invest when we can invest, as we are investing in the IPL in quarter four, and quarter one also will be investing heavily in the IPL and brand. And when there's a raw material hike which we cannot mitigate, we manage the investment onto the next quarter. So basically, we are trying to manage in a tight band the EBITDA margin. And when that happens, usually it goes up over a period of time, provided there's no inflationary impact. So there are many things at play. If there's a sharp inflation, very difficult to manage the margin at current level. So what our endeavor is to manage it in a tight band.
Okay, and my next question, which is that, you said that as far as the passenger passenger segment goes, PCR, you are able to at least set the price. I mean, which are the segments you are in, which you are the price setters, and in and the segments you are the price takers? Which are the segments you are the price takers?
There's no clear position that has evolved like that. In truck bus radial, where we are a single digit market share player, we are price followers, that's for sure.
Okay.
In the other two segments, it depends on the situation and our need to gain market share. So sometimes we have been able to take independent calls on pricing in these two segments.
Okay. And see, as far as the market share goes, since you have such a high share in the two-wheeler segment, I mean, probably you are the highest, so don't you have a pricing power that much more there?
We do have pricing power relatively better in two-wheeler segment.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Arnob.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ashin Modi from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My question was regarding BNP expenses. Could you quantify its impact during the quarter, and what sort of impact could we have in the next quarter because of this IPL and WPL?
It is 2 to 2.4% roughly. It varies, so it fluctuates around that. It will be more above 2 in these two quarters, and then maybe moderate in the subsequent quarter.
Okay. Last question is regarding this gross debt. We have reduced our debt significantly, so that's 460 crore this year. So how do we see debt reduction in the next year or next couple of years?
No, see, this year free cash flow generation has been very healthy. I think maybe highest. Going next year, I think it was indicated that our capex plan for next year is about 1,000 crores. Okay, and we would also like to normalize working capital. Okay, so because at the end of the day, we have to meet the service levels across the geographies. So we managed to fund all our capex from internal accruals last year and still managed to bring our debt down. In the first half of the current year, we see some cash flow happening, you know. In case of EPR, which we spoke about, there will be something. We've declared dividend just now. Okay, that itself translates to about 120 crores of dividend. So we will keep in mind, I think, we will keep a debt within a range. Okay, within a range. We are around 1600 crores of debt on a standalone basis. We will keep within that range of over 200-300 crores on the higher end, and we'll continue to work in terms of opportunities to bring the debt down as and when it happens. But just want to share with you that we are comfortable at current levels of leverage. Okay, so I know we all know over leverage is bad, but under leverage is not good also. So from that point of view, we'll try to manage. And the reason for keeping the capex, it's more a preparation for the following year and year later on in terms of capacities, is also because of the fact that the balance sheet has strengthened. So we'll operate within this range.
Sure, thank you, sir. I'll get back to you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amyn Pirani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, thanks for the opportunity again. I just had a clarification. So what is the TBR capacity right now and how much are we increasing it by in the expansion that we're doing in Chennai?
No, our factory existing capacity about 130,000 tires per month. It can be stretched a little bit. And what we are putting up in Chennai is about 45,000 tires per month. Progressively.
Okay. So approximately 30% expansion on the TBR capacity.
Yeah.
Okay. And this will be available for production in FY26 or this will start to become available during FY25 itself?
Our intention is to commission the plant in quarter two of the year. Okay. Normally it follows through the normal ramp up route. So quarter three onwards it will start contributing to sales.
Understood. Thanks for this.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Raghunandan NL from Nuvama Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, on the export outlook side, if you can give some more color in terms of how you see the sustenance of double-digit growth, which markets, which products are likely to do well, and how do you see that you know, target of 25% share getting achieved?
Yeah, 25% is the saliency within Fiat, which is currently 19%. So as I had mentioned, the key focus is on agriculture radials, passenger radials and truck bus radials. So strong focus on passenger radial and agriculture radial. Truck bus radial is coming up as maybe, we can say 2.5 categories. And the geographies are Europe, US and Latin America. So these are the three geographies that we'll focus on. Out of which US we have agriculture radial, which is scaling up. Passenger radial and truck bus radial are yet to be launched. In all other geographies, we have created the market access by way of distribution network. Product development is done. Product development is also done and tested for US. So this will be the focus market. And Middle East is also shaping up well. Though I didn't mention about it earlier, but it's it may be the fourth area, but the first three are the focus area.
Got it, sir. And H2 of FY24 exports had grown in double digits, I think 15% plus. So how would you see, you know, the double-digit growth getting sustained? Do you see any?
The international business is always fraught with higher risk because of various geopolitical events over which we don't have any control. If there are no major aberrations, then we see headroom for growth being a value brand, which is our products are very well accepted and at the right price at which we make good money. It is EBITDA accretive for us. We see a lot of headroom for growth in all these three geographies, barring some unforeseen risk which we have not accounted for. So, but it, those risks are always there.
Got it, sir. And Kumar, sir, can you quantify, you indicated 300% increase in freight cost on the Europe route. Would it be a 30-40 basis point kind of a hit this quarter? Any quantification there? What was the impact this quarter? And also, thoughts on pass-through of this higher freight cost with customers? Have customers responded positively? Have you got acceptance for pass-through?
Okay, see, normally there are two ways in which you price your product. One is FOB and another is CAF. Okay, whenever we have FOB contract, buyer takes the impact of freight as and when it happens. In case of CAF contract is where we have given a price including freight, and in the intervening period, so long as the price is applicable, we may have to pick up that freight. Okay, so but when you renegotiate the prices at the next cycle, either you adjust the freight rates and in the CAF price, or agree some kind of an arrangement where the actual freight is appropriately adjusted in the pricing. So largely it's passed through. Okay, and the impact of that has already been taken in the previous quarter. We don't expect that to have any incremental impact on us in the coming quarters.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you very much for attending the conference call for CIET. We have had a good year and we hope to see you again in 3 months' time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of CIET Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.